tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. My name is Jonathan Nadeau. Thanks for joining us on Embrace Your Storm. And as always, we've got an awesome episode for you. But before we get to that, don't forget, we have Foxwoods coming up. We have the Tornado Music and Film Festival. It's August 26th, 27th, 28th. And leading into that, we're going to have Joran's film here at the film festival. And is it called A Mannequin or just Mannequin?
The Mannequin.
A Mannequin or The Mannequin. Sorry.
Yeah,
The Mannequin. So, Joran, thanks for coming on, man. Like, before we get into The Mannequin, how did you even kind of get involved in this industry making films? Like, what brought you to this crazy world?
Yeah, sure. So first I'll start by saying thank you for having me on this episode.
It's my pleasure, man.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on these kind of things. So I can talk about different things, but so we'll get into it.
What brought you to this crazy world?
I think it really started when I was like a kid. Like, I used to play with toys and action figures and stuff like that. You know, I would just make up little skits and stuff like that. And then, you know, of course, I was always into video games and action games and stuff like that. But I think what maybe resurfaced the idea of doing filmmaking and stuff like that was when I used to do some background work. Like, for example, when they were filming the movie Harriet in Richmond, I was doing some background work. That was my background. Yeah, that was my first project. So that's what got me interested in the film side. But it's funny because I was mainly a musician before I even started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. What did you play? What do you play?
I mean, I play guitar, keyboard, and I have a whole bunch of music. I have a whole bunch of music out there right now.
What kind of guitar do you have, or how many guitars do you have?
I only have a couple.
Only a couple. what kinds do you have, though? What do you play?
I have a Telecaster that I've had for a billion years.
Oh, I have a G&L, a Sat Blues Boys. It's basically a Telecaster. G&L is the company Leo Fender was the last company Leo Fender made before he passed away. And so the Asat is the their version of the Telecaster. That is my favorite guitar ever. Like, I've been playing guitar for 20 years. I had my hands on lots of guitars. That's my favorite guitar. Like, I love it.
Yeah, I like Telecasters.
No, I'm a huge fan. What kind of music do you play?
The music I make usually is either smooth jazz or my recent or a disco or whatever.
That's cool. Are you on like Spotify?
Oh yeah, I'm all over the place.
What's your name, dude, on Spotify?
I go under my original name, Joran Hanna.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So if you guys want to check that out, go ahead. I'm gonna be checking it out. But back to how you got involved in the film and everything. So you're involved with music and stuff, but then being on, you know, doing the work on this film, is that what got you interested into the film industry?
Yeah, well, after I started doing some background work for different projects, I started getting into the mode of creating my own content.
And, yeah,
you know, and then I would watch YouTube videos of people making their own short films and animated stuff. So it kind of got me motivated.
That's
to
cool.
Want to do my own thing too.
That's cool. So like, what did you do? Like, what was kind of like your first short film that you did? Like, did you end up, you know, it's kind of funny because you mentioned earlier how you know, growing up as a kid, you'd have action figures or whatever, and you kind of be making out skits or whatever. Did you use like action figures to make a short or like an animated thing?
Oh no. I didn't even know anything about all that stuff then. Yeah, so I didn't know about all that. Like, back when I was doing all the action figures and all that, I didn't even know about software and all that kind of stuff.
So then what was like the first, like, kind of your film or whatever, like you actually had a camera and recorded stuff, like what was the first thing they kind of worked on?
Well, I started doing this whole thing like maybe a couple of years ago, and I was using another program called Movie Storm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's cool.
So that's another 3D animation program thing.
Okay.
It's the same concept, you know.
Yeah. So you never actually went. Okay. So that's cool. Cause we talked before the interview, and we'll get to this part now, but so you never actually then went down kind of the camera route. You've always been doing this 3D thing then, huh?
Yeah, I've always been doing stuff on a computer.
That's cool. Okay, that's cool, man. Okay. So how did you stumble into the, what's it called, Movie Storm? I don't think I'm that familiar with it. How did you find that one?
I think I was just doing a Google search or something.
Oh, okay, you stumbled across, you're like, hey, this works.
Yeah, and I think I may have found it on YouTube at first. And then I Googled it and said, let me just try this out and all that.
That's cool. So how long did you use that software before you switched over to Unreal, which we'll get to?
I mean, I still use Movie Storm to this day, but I don't use. Okay. I haven't been using it for my recent projects. I started using Unreal probably about maybe last year or something like that.
What got you on the Unreal onto the Unreal road? Like, how did you stumble into that?
I think I found a short film on YouTube. Someone was using it.
And they said, like, they used Unreal, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. I just like the way it looks.
That's
like,
cool.
Like, graphic-wise, it just looked more realistic and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, you know, it's used to make video games, right? So it's going to look pretty sick.
Yeah.
So, like, here's the part that I like now. So you got into looking into Unreal, you know, Unreal Gaming Engine, right, to make your stuff. Like, yeah. And I was talking to you, and you're like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was, you know, I downloaded Unreal, and I just kind of start, you know, go on YouTube and, you know, start searching stuff. Like, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? And that's one of the favorite things I love about people that we have on that we interview. One of the common things that comes up in every interview so far is they were just like, I just had to do it. Like, you know, I installed it, and I just had to learn what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing, but I had to figure it out. And like, yeah. That's what you did, you know, mm-hmm. And yep. It's just awesome. So now with the mannequin, give us kind of the synopsis and the, you know, the plot of that film. And then we'll get into Unreal. I want the audience to hear kind of like what you did and what you did to do it, because this is an inspiring story, in my opinion. So I hope someone hears your story and they're going to be like, I'm going to go download Unreal right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because you know, it's just awesome to hear what you did. So all right, so you download Unreal, and yeah, you want to make this film, The Mannequin. What's it all about?
Well, the whole plot in itself, I mean, it gets deeper later on, but the whole plot in a nutshell is that this robot was designed by, you know, a bunch of space pirates, and the whole idea was that they designed him to basically take over the whole galaxy by himself. Because they wanted to have a one man army type. He wanted to develop a one man army, kind of like a Rambo type thing going on.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But the problem was during the process, there's a scene where he's walking down a hallway with two guards and all that, and then the last second he pulls out his pistol and then shoots the guards and turns on them basically. And then he escapes the ship and all that kind of stuff. And he basically took his own mind back, basically.
Okay. Okay.
And,
he became self-aware.
Yeah. He became his own. He was able to think for himself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't depending on that. I guess that was a glitch in the program.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it gets pretty crazy. And then he crashes on a planet, because what happens is, like, I'm not trying to give the whole thing away, but basically what happens is that the whole ship is alerted that he's out of control and he's going crazy and shooting up everybody. And he ends up turning, and then the fleet shows up because he's on a capital ship, and that's where he was being held.
Okay.
And so when the word got out that he was out of control and acting crazy, the whole fleet or whatever the ships that were in the area was ordered to basically destroy the capital ship, because they couldn't afford to let him get off of it.
Right, exactly.
So then the whole fleet basically attacks the ship. He basically ends up going to a room, and he ends up programming the ships to turn on each other.
Oh, man.
And then it's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And then he ends up escaping, and then he ends up crashing on a planet, and then he has to face different odds and stuff like that he runs into.
Because you were saying you have this story pretty flushed out, weren't you saying? Like, you could actually extend this out even more, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a whole bunch of – I already have, like, the next three films lined up.
Wow.
Because I can take it to a different direction, do all kinds of stuff with it, you know. Kind of like Metroid Prime, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you already made your own like little universe, your metaverse or whatever to play in now, you know? Like you already have your own characters and stuff. So that's pretty awesome. Now, so this is like, it's an hour long. I thought you were going to tell me something different when I asked you, you know, how long did it take you to make this? So like how, you know, usually when people like, here's an example. There's a kid, he literally is a kid. He's like 21. He submitted a film to the festival, and he lives in Mexico City, and he did it's 1 hour long. It's a 1 hour long stop motion video, and he did it as a Black Widow fan film. And so he used all these action figures, like Marvel, you know, action figures to make the film. And it took him 2 years to put the film together. He started when he was 19, and then he got it finished when he was 21. I was like, that's amazing. Oh, wow. Like, you know, like I thought, not that I thought yours would take 2 years, but I thought you were going to say a year. I couldn't believe you said it took as little time as it did.
Oh, no, I started in, I started it in December of 2021. And I think I finished it around March of this year.
Wow. That's crazy. You said like I was doing stuff for hours a day. Like, it's not like, you know, but. That's a long time to sit down and crank that out, though.
Yeah, I mean, if I was more fun, but I think what took me the longest was that I probably would have been done with it sooner if I had actually known what I was doing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of that time was spent with trial and error and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
It was. Like, yeah, and then the editing. Yeah, what took me another couple of weeks probably was the editing process. You know, put all the sound effects in there and
right.
music.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So that's what took up time too.
So what kinds of things, like, I mean, because I don't want to brush over this part, because like you said, you had to learn a whole bunch of stuff with Unreal to even learn how to, you know, how to use it. You're like, you didn't let that stop you. So like, where did you use, like, YouTube videos? Were you going on Unreal site? Did they have like a lot of good documentation or whatever? Like, you know, what was that like to, you know, that process to go through to learn how to even use the thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm a very faithful servant to YouTube.
There you go.
that's like the video encyclopedia, you know.
Oh, seriously. Like, and again, as we're talking about this, the past interview, if people listened to it with Michael Baker, Jordan, I was talking to this older gentleman, and he was 60, and he didn't get into the film industry until he was 50. So, because I thought he was doing film stuff for his whole life or whatever. And he was like, oh, no, you know, I started when I was 50. And we started talking about YouTube, and he was like, you know, I grew up, you know, this older gentleman was like, and I did too, but he more so. He's like, I grew up in a time when, you know, there's no internet, there's no YouTube. Like, if you want to learn something, you got to go to like the library, get a, you know, find a book or whatever. And he's like, this day and age, there's no excuse for anybody to not be able to learn what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, there's literally no excuse. Like, we have YouTube. So if you want to do something and you can't do it, then you can learn it, and it's on YouTube. And like, so there's no excuse. So like, the reason why I love having people on like Jordan is like, he took action. Like, there's a lot of people probably sitting around going, oh, it'd be cool to make something on Unreal. Well, yeah, it would be, but you got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and people, oh, I don't know how to do it. Well, guess what? Jordan didn't either. You know?
I like, still don't know.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you don't let that stop you. You know what I'm saying? So like, people need to hear your story and just be like, you know what? I'm going to get off my keister and do something myself, you know? Like, look, I'm blind, dude. I don't let that stop me. I do all kinds of stuff, man. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not talking to you, but I mean, to people in general that listen to this episode, I don't let my blindness get in the way. I mean, I build websites for people. I can't even see the website I'm building for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I could do online. I do online marketing for people on Kickstarter campaigns and stuff. Like, I can't see any of the things that I'm marketing for people, and I don't let it stop me, you know? And so just because you don't know how to do something, you can't let that stop you.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been one of those. I've always been what I call a sampler. And basically that's that's basically when I don't even know everything. I don't know everything about anything, you know? I mean, even music. I mean, I've been doing music longer. I've been doing music since I was probably like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, and I still
don't know everything. I've been using the same program since, like, I've been using this program called Mixcraft. You know, it's like Fruity Loops, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've been using the same program for the past 10 plus years. I still don't even know how to do everything with it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But I just think that sometimes people get discouraged because they feel like they have to know everything about the program. You really don't.
People are afraid of like failing too or whatever. You know, I think part of the problem too is like there's pressure on kind of a creator where whatever you come up with has to be amazing, right?
Because we
live in that world with social media and everything. So like if you write a song, it's got to be the most amazing thing, right? And if you don't get that reaction, then you're going to think it's a failure. And so that's what I think a lot of people are afraid of, like, well, I don't want to do it. What if I don't get a million likes on Facebook, you know, or whatever. And so I think people are afraid of that, of not getting that recognition when I think they should pay attention to or focus on just like the actual creation part of the thing itself. Right. Instead of worrying about, is anyone else going to like it? As long as you do, that's all that should matter.
I mean, people criticize multi-million-dollar films. I only spent like maybe $50 to make this film.
Right.
So and to be fair, I mean, we've all seen movies that we didn't like that took millions of dollars to make.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
So I mean, we there are movies that have been in theaters and everywhere. I mean, we say, oh, it wasn't that great. I'm glad I didn't spend $10 on it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. So is there anything else that you're working on now? Are you going to be doing more of the mannequin stuff, or do you have different projects coming down the pipeline? Or
I'm working on another mannequin film right now.
Nice. Yeah. All right, so how far are you through that one?
I have like one or two scenes done right now.
Nice. Yeah. Are you looking for any help with that? Do you need help with like music, or you know, is there any partnerships you'd like to call out to? And if anyone listening, if they want to help you out with stuff you're working on, can you use any help?
I mean, for this particular film, probably not. I mean, because not that I can think of at the moment. I mean, because I'm so used to doing everything.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, man. You don't have to worry about doing everything yourself. Yeah. Like, you know,
if anything, maybe the music part. But
do you have a website or like, you know, Instagram or whatever that like people can go to find you?
I have an Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that.
Okay. They can just find you like just through your name. Like,
Okay.
That's cool.
I need to get a new website, by the way. I don't know why I need to get, I can't even, you know, I got so much material. I don't even know what to call my website.
Dude, I hear what you're saying.
But I need to get a new one though. I mean, I've had several ones before that, you know, wasn't relevant after a while.
I hear what you're saying. I get that. No, that's cool. Is there anything else you're working on other than the mannequin? Do you have any other ideas or any other thing coming down the pipeline, or is this the mannequin what you're focusing on?
Well, I usually take one project at a time, and
that's good.
So after I get done with this film, I'll probably be going on to another one like that.
Awesome.
And I have a drama short film I did with
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you said you're in Virginia, right?
Yeah, I live near Richmond.
Okay. Yeah. Would you be able to come up to the festival if you have a chance? Would you be able to make it up here? Or?
Wait, where is that located?
It's in Connecticut.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so far we've had tons of people saying they're going to come. So that's why I was just curious. Like a lot of people are excited to come. So it's going to be a good time of like networking and getting together. So. So it's great having you on, man. And everyone, don't forget Foxwoods Casino. We're going to be there August 26th, 27th, 28th, the Tornado Music and Film Festival. There's going to be links all over the place on this episode to get everywhere you need to go. So, hey, man, thanks for coming on. Is there any last words you have for the audience? Anything else you wanted to say?
I'll just say, I'll just tell people, if you want to be able to do anything in general, don't worry about what you don't know. Just worry about what you do know and just maximize on what you do know. Because I think sometimes it gets overwhelming when we try to, you know, we feel like we have to know everything. I don't know everything. Yeah. I mean, I've done all kinds of stuff, but I don't know. I don't even know everything about anything.
I hear you, Jerry. You know?
So, I mean, don't let that discourage you from stuff. You know, sometimes watching YouTube too much can make you discouraged because you got too many people saying too many different things.
and they're like really talented too. You're like, why am I even bothering doing this? You know,
you know, I don't like watching 2-hour tutorials.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I get lost after about 50 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is too long now.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But that those are good words to end on. And again, thanks for all of your work that you do. And thanks for your time today to do the interview. And everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Don't forget to embrace your storm.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.